Selected Shorts is sponsored by ZabarsCoffee.com, featuring hand-selected and custom-roasted Zabar's coffee, shipped daily to coffee drinkers across America who want a great cup of coffee at a reasonable price. Available at ZabarsCoffee.com. ZabarsCoffee.com.
From PRI, Public Radio International.
She better now anyway. Just wine, beer, no whiskey, no vodka, no gin. She getting well. She gonna make it. He have to be patient with her. She trying.
You're listening to Myra Lucretia Taylor reading from Larry Brown's Kubuku Rides, This Is It, which we'll hear in its entirety later on this edition of Selected Shorts, a series that originates in live performance on stage at Symphony Space in New York City. I'm Isaiah Sheffer. On this broadcast, we present two stories that are derived from a Symphony Space evening entitled Fiction into Film, at which we followed readings of two pieces of short fiction with screenings of two wonderful short films based on these stories. You'll be able to see these films by going to our website, selectedshorts.org, but you'll hear some talk with the filmmakers and a bit of audio from the film soundtracks right here on this program. The first story, No Bikini, by Ivan E. Coyote, is about a little girl who's mistaken for a boy in her swimming class. Ivan E. Coyote, despite the male-sounding first name, is a female writer, born and raised in Whitehorse in the Yukon Territory. No Bikini is read by our regular reader, Sonia Manzano.
I had a sex change once when I was 6 years old. The lion's pool where I grew up smelled like every other swimming pool everywhere. That's the thing about pools. Same smell, doesn't matter where you are. It was summer swimming lessons. It was a little red badge with white trim we were all after. Beginners, age 5 to 7. My mother had bought me a bikini. It was one of those little girl bikinis, a two-piece, I guess you would call it. The top half fit like a tight cut-off T-shirt, red with blue squares on it. The bottoms were longer than panties, but shorter than shorts, blue with red squares. I had tried it on the night before when my mom got home from work, and found that if I raised both my arms completely above my head too quickly, the top would slide up over my flat chest. And people could see my you-know-whats. You'll have to watch out for that, my mother had stated, her concerns making little lines on her forehead. Maybe I should have got the one piece, but all they had was yellow and pink left. You don't like yellow either, do you? Pink was out of the question. We had already established this. So the blue and red two-piece, it was going to have to be. I was an accomplished tomboy by this time, so I was used to hating my clothes. It was so easy the first time that it didn't even feel like a crime. I just didn't wear the top part. There were lots of little boys getting changed with their mothers, and nobody noticed me slipping out of my brown cords and striped T-shirt and padding bare-chested to the poolside alone. Our swimming instructor was broad-shouldered and walked with her toes pointed out. She was a human bullhorn, bellowing all instructions to us and punctuating each sentence with sharp blasts on a silver whistle, which hung about her bulging neck on a leather bootlace. All right, beginners, everyone line up at the shallow end. Boys here, girls here, come on, come on, come on. Boys on the left, girls on the right. It was that simple. And it only got easier after that. I wore my trunks under my pants and changed in the boys' room after that first day. The short form of my birth name my parents bestowed me with was androgynous enough to allow my charade to proceed through the entire 6 weeks of swimming lessons, 6 weeks of boyhood, 6 weeks of bliss. It was easier not to be afraid of things like diving boards and cannonballs and backstrokes when nobody expected you to be afraid. It was easier to jump into the deep end when you didn't have to worry about your top sliding up over your ears. I didn't have to be ashamed of my naked nipples because I had not covered them up in the first place. The water running over my shoulders and back felt simple and natural and good. 6 weeks lasts a long time when you are 6 years old. So in the beginning, I guess I thought the summer would never really end, that grade two was still an age away. I guess I thought that swimming lessons would continue far enough into the future that I didn't need to worry about report card day. Or maybe I didn't think at all. "He is not afraid of water over his head," my mom read aloud in the car on the way home. My dad was driving, eyes straight ahead on the road. "He can tread water without a flotation device." Her eyes were narrow and hard and kept trying to catch mine in the rearview mirror. "Your son has successfully completed his beginners and intermediate badges and is ready for his level one?" I stared at the toes of my sneakers and said nothing. "Now, excuse me, young lady, but would you like to explain to me exactly what you have done here? How many people you have lied to? Have you been parading around all summer half naked?" How could I explain to her that it wasn't what I had done, but what I didn't do? That I hadn't lied because no one had asked. And that I had never, not once, felt naked. "I can't believe you. You can't be trusted with a two-piece." I said nothing all the way home. There was nothing to say. She was right. I couldn't be trusted with a two-piece. Not then, not now.
Sonia Manzano reading No Bikini by Ivan E. Coyote. No Bikini was turned into a delightful short movie by the Chilean-born filmmaker Claudia Morgado Escanilla. Here's an excerpt from the film.
I wasn't pretending. I just was. It was 6 weeks of boyhood. 6 weeks of bliss.
Go, go, Kelly, go, go, Walter, way to go! All right, stroke, stroke, breath!
We heard part of Claudia Morgado Escanilla's film adaptation of Ivan E. Coyote's No Bikini. After a short break, we'll be back with another short tale that became a short movie. You're listening to Selected Shorts, recorded live in performance at Symphony Space in New York City and at other venues nationwide. From PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to Selected Shorts. Selected Shorts is sponsored by ZabarsCoffee.com, featuring hand-selected and custom-roasted Zabar's coffee, shipped daily to coffee drinkers across America who want a great cup of coffee at a reasonable price. Available at ZabarsCoffee.com. ZabarsCoffee.com. Our second story that served as the basis for a film is by the late Larry Brown, who was both a writer and the captain of the fire department in Oxford, Mississippi, before his untimely death in 2004. The story is called Kubuku Rides, This Is It. It's about a woman's desperate efforts to combat her alcohol problem, and listeners should be warned that this strong material is not suitable for children. Kubuku Rides, This Is It is read for us by the wonderful Myra Lucretia Taylor.
Angel hear the back door slam. It Alan, in from work. She start to hide the glass, and then she don't hide the glass. He got a nose like a bloodhound, and he gonna smell it anyway. So she just keeps sitting on the couch. She gonna act like nothing happening, like everything cool. Little boy in the yard playing, he don't know nothing. He think mama in here watching Andy Griffith, cooking supper. She better now anyway. Just wine. Beer. No whiskey, no vodka, no gin. She getting well. She gonna make it. He have to be patient with her. She trying. He no rose garden himself anyway. She start to get up, and then she don't. It better if she stay down like nothing going on. She nervous, though. She know he looking, trying to catch her messing up. He watch her just like a hawk, like somebody with eyes in the back of their head. He don't miss much. He come into the room and he see her. She smile, try to, but get it wrong. She know it wrong. She guilty. He see it. He been out loading lumber or something all day long. He tired and ready for supper, but ain't no supper yet. She know all this and ain't said nothing. She's scared to speak because she's so guilty. But she mad over having to feel guilty because some of this guilt his fault. Not all his fault, but some of it. Maybe half. Maybe less. This thing been going on for a while. This thing nothing new. Hey, honey, she say. I done unloaded 2 tons of 2x4s today, he say. You poor baby, she say. Come on and have a little drink with Mama. At the wrong thing to say. What? He say. You drinking again? I done told you and told you and told you. It's just wine, she say. Well, woman, how many you done had? This just my first one, she say. But she lying. She done have 5. And ain't even took nothing out to deep freeze. Wind up having a turkey pot pie or something. Something don't nobody want. She can't cook while she trying to figure out what to do. Don't know what to do. Ain't gonna drink nothing at all when she get up. Worries all day about drinking. Then in the evening, she done worried so much over not drinking, she starts in drinking. She in one of them vicious cycles. She don't even thought about doing away with herself, but she hate to leave her husband and her little boy alone in the world. Probably mess her little boy up for the rest of his life. She don't want to die anyway. Angel ain't but 30 years old. Still good looking, too. And love her husband like God loved Jesus. Ain't no answer. That's it. Where that bottle, he say. Now she gonna act like she don't know what he talking about. What bottle? She say. Hell, woman, bottle you drinking from? What you mean, what bottle? She's scared now, frightened of his wrath. He don't usually go off, but he go off on her drinking in a minute. He put up with anything but her drinking. It's in the fridge, she say. He run in there. She hear him open the door. He going to bust it in a million pieces. She get up and go after him, wobbly. She grabbing for doors and stuff, trying to get in there. He done took her money away. She can't have no more. He don't let her write no checks. He holding the bottle up where she can see it good. The contents of that bottle done trashed. He say, first glass my ass. Oh, Alan, she say, that a old bottle. Old bottle? That what you say? Old bottle? I found it, she say. Lion, he say. She shake her head, no, 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 no. She want that last drink because everything else hid. What you mean going out buying some more, he say. He got veins standing out in his neck. He is mad, madder than she ever seen him. Oh, Alan, please, she say. She hate herself begging like this. She ready to get down on her knees if she have to, though. I found it, she say. You been to the liquor store. Come on now, he said. You been to the liquor store, ain't you? Angel start to say something, start to scream something. But she see Randy come in from the front yard. He stopped behind his daddy. Mama fixing to get down in the floor for that bottle. Daddy yelling stuff. Ain't no good time to come in. He 8 years old, but he know what going on. He tiptoe back out. Don't pour it out, she say. Just let me finish it and I'll quit. I'll start supper, she say. Lie to me, he say. Lie to me and take money and promise. How many times you promised? She go to him. He put the bottle behind his back saying, don't, no, baby. He moaning like, Alan, please, she say. She put one arm around his waist and try for that bottle. He's stronger than her. It ain't fair. They stumble around in the kitchen. She trying for the bottle. He heading for the sink. She trying to get it. Done this before. Ain't no fun no more. He say, I done told you what I'm going to do. She say, just let me finish it, Alan. Don't make me beg. She say, ain't no way she hold him. He too strong. Lifts weights 3 days a week. Runs. Got muscles like concrete. Know how to box, but don't never hit her. She done hit him plenty of times with her little drunk fists. Ain't hurt him, no. He turn away and start taking the cap off the bottle. She grabbed for it. She got both hands on it. He trying to pull it away. She panting. He pulling the bottle away, down in the sink so he can pour it out. They gonna break it. Somebody gonna get cut. Maybe him, maybe her. Don't matter who. They tugging back and forth. And down, ain't nobody in their right mind. Let go, she say. She know Randy hearing it. He done run away once. It ain't enough for her. Ought to be, but ain't. He jerk it away and it hit the side of the sink and break. Blood gushing out of his hand. Mixing with the wine. Blood and wine all over the sink. It don't look good. Look bad. Look like maybe somebody have to kill theyself before it get all over with. Can't keep on like this. Done going on too long. God mighty, he say. That slice his whole hand wide open. It bad. She don't know how bad. Angel don't want to see it. She run back to the living room for the rest of that glass. She don't drink it. He'll get it. She grab it, pour it down. 2 inches of wine. Then it all gone. She throw the glass into the mirror and everything break. Alan yells something in the kitchen and she run back in there and look. He got a bloody towel wrapped around his hand. Done unloaded 2 tons of wood today and hospital bill gonna be more than he made. Won't take 15 minutes. Emergency room robbery take longer than plain robbery, but don't require no gun. He shout, this is it! He crying and he don't cry. Can't stand it! Sick of it! She's sick too. He won't leave her alone. He love her. He done cut his hand wide open because of this love. He crying. Little boy terrified. He run off again. Somebody liable to snatch him up and they never see him again. It ought to be enough, but it ain't. Ain't never enough. She flashing back now. She done had a wreck a few weeks ago. She done went out with some friends of hers, Betty and Glennis and Sue. They done bought some clothes for Randy and towels for her mama and cowboy boots for Alan, pretty ones, rhino's hide and hippo's toes. She working then, still have a job then. It a Saturday. Randy and Alan at Randy's Little League game. She thinks she going over later, but she never make it. She get drunk instead. They gonna have just one little drink, her and Betty and Sue and them. One little drink ain't gonna hurt nobody or nothing. Betty telling about her divorce and new men she checking out. She don't give no details, though. They drinking a little light wine, but Angel having a double 151 and Coke. She ain't messing around. This a few weeks ago. She ain't got time for no wine. And she drinks hers off real quick and order and get another one before they even get their wines down. She think maybe they won't notice she done had two. They all so busy listening to Betty telling about these wimps she messing with. But see, it ain't interesting. So they notice right away. Angel going to the game, though. She definitely going to the game. She done promised everybody in the country. Time done come when she have to be straight. She got to quit breaking these promises. She got to quit all this lying and conniving. Then before long, they start talking about leaving. She asked them to stay. Say, please, y'all stay and have one more. But nah, they got to go. Glennis, she claims she got this hot date tonight. She talked like she got a hot date every night. And Betty got this new man she going out with, and she got to go roll her hair and stuff. But now Sue is true. Angel done went to high school with her. They were in school back together when they was wearing hot pants and stuff. It's like an old relationship, but see, Sue know what's going on. She just hate to say anything. She just hate to bring it out in the wide open. She got to say something, though. She wait till the rest of them go, and then she speak up, and she say, I thought you was going to the ball game, girl. She look at her watch. Yeah, Angel say, honey, I'm going. I wouldn't miss it for the world, but I got to have me some more 151 and Coke. Sue knows she lying. She done lied to everybody about everything. This thing a problem can't keep quiet. She done had troubles at work. She done called in late and sick and done called in and lied like a dog about her physical conditions with these hungovers. Now Angel hurting. She knows Sue know the truth, but too good to nag. She knows Sue one good person she could depend on the rest of her life, but she know too Sue ain't putting up with her killing herself in her midst. She knows Sue gonna say something, but Sue don't say nothing until she finish her second wine. This after Angel asked her to have a third wine. Somebody got to stop her. She keep on. She keep on. She be asking to stay for an eighth and a ninth wine. She be asking to stay till the place closed down. So Sue say, you gonna miss that ball game, girl. She say she already late. She motioned for another drink. Sue reach over and put her hand over Angel's glass and say, don't do that, girl. Late already, she say. One more won't make no difference. She know her speech and stuff messed up. It's embarrassing. But the barmaid, she bring the drink. And Sue reach out and put her hand over the glass and say, don't you give her that shit, woman. The girl back up and say, ma'am? Real nice like. Don't you give her that, say Sue. Girl say, yes, ma'am, but she ordered it, ma'am. Girl look at Angel. Thank you, hon, she say. She reach and take the drink and give the girl some money. Then she tip her a dollar and the girl walk away. Angel grab this drink and slosh some of it out on her. She know it, but she can't help it. She don't know what went wrong. She's shopping and going to the ball game, and now this done happened again. She ain't making no ball game. The ball game done shot to hell. She perhaps will be in 2 or 3 in the morning. Sue, now, she tired of this. When you going to admit it, she say. Admit what? Girl, you know, laying drunk, running around here drinking every night, staying out. She say, I don't know what you're talking about. Like she huffy. She drinking every day, even Sunday. Especially Sunday. Sunday the worst, because ain't nothing open. She don't hit the liquor store Saturday night. She climbing the wall Sunday afternoon. She done even got drunk and listened to the services on TV Sunday morning, got all depressed and passed out before dinner time. Then Alan and Randy have to eat them turkey pot pies again. Alan and Randy don't understand me, she say. They love you, Sue say. And I love them, she say. Listen now, Sue tell her. You're going to lose that baby and that man if you don't stop messing around. I ain't going to do no such a thing, she say. But she knows Sue right. She's still pouring that rum down. She ain't slacked off. You just have to deny the truth because old truth hurt too much to face. Sue, get up. She got tears in her eyes and stuff. She dabbing with Kleenexes. Can't nobody talk sense to this fool. Yes, you will, she say. And she leave. She ain't gonna hang around and watch the self-destruction. Woman done turned into a time bomb ticket. She got to get away from here. So she run out the door. She booking home. Everybody looking. Angel all alone now. She ordered 2 more singles and drank both of them. But she faced time she drank that last one. She done been in the booth 1.5 hours, which has done caused some men to think about hitting on her. They done seen them thin legs and stuff she got. And this one wimp done even come over to the table. He just assumes she lonesome and wants a male company. He think he gonna come over like he Robert Goulet or somebody and just invite himself to sit down. He done seen her wedding ring, but he thinking, man, this woman horny or something. She gonna be sitting here all by her lonesome. And this fool almost sit down in the booth with her. He gonna buy her a drink, talk some trash to her, when he really thinking is he gonna get her in some motel room and take her panties off. But she don't recognize his act. She ain't having nothing to do with this fool. She tell him off right quick. Of course, he get huffy and leave. That's fine. Ain't asked that fool to sit down with her anyway. Now she done decided she don't want to have another drink in this place. Old depression setting in. People coming in now to eat seafood with their families, little kids and stuff, grandmamas. She don't need to be hanging around in here no more. Waiters looking at her. She know they wanting her to leave before she give their place a bad name. Plus, she taking up room in this booth where some family wanting to eat some filet catfish. She know all this stuff. She know she better leave before they ask her to. She done had embarrassment enough. Don't need no more. I ain't eat nothing yet. Don't want nothing to eat. Don't even eat at home much. Done lost weight. Breasts done come down. Was fine and full. Legs even done got skinny. She know Alan notices when she undress. She don't even weigh what she weigh on their wedding night when she give herself to Alan. She know he worried sick about her. He get her in the bed and squeeze her so tight he hurt her. But she don't say let go. She trying to walk straight when she go out to her car, but she look like somebody flicked it. Bumping in the hoods and stuff. She done late already. Ball game over. It after 6 and Randy and Alan are already home now. Ain't no way she going home right now. She ain't gonna face them crying faces. And 2, she go home. Alan ain't letting her drink another drop. So she decided to get her a bottle. You know, just ride around a while. She gonna ride around and sober up. And then she gonna go home. And she need to do this anyway because this give her time to think something up, like she tore up the car or something. That's why she late. Only thing, she done gone in this liquor store so many times she ashamed to. She see these same people and she know they thinking, damn, this woman done been in here 4 times this week, drinking like a fish. She don't like to look in their eyes. So she hunt up another store on the other side of town. She don't want to get too drunk. So she just get a 6er of beers and some schnapps. She gonna ride around, cruise around a little. Yeah, that's what she thinking. She driving okay, hitting them beers occasionally, hitting the peach schnapps every few minutes because it's so good and ain't but 48 proof. It's so weak, it ain't gonna make her drunk. Yeah, not no half pint. She gonna ride around for an hour, then she gonna go home. She afraid to take a drink when anybody behind her. She thinking the police gonna see her and throw them blue lights on her. Then she gonna be in jail calling Alan to come and bail her out, which he already done twice before. She don't want to stay in town. She gonna drive out on the lake road. There's not as much traffic out there. So she go off out there on this blacktop road. She gonna ride out to the boat landing. Ain't nobody out there. It's too cold to fish. She curve around through the woods 3 or 4 miles. She done finish one of them beers and throw the bottle out the window. So she get her another and drink some more of that schnapps. That stuff go down so easy. So hard to stop on. Usually when she open a half pint, she throw the cap far as she can. Angel weaving a little, but she ain't drunk. She just a little tired. She wishing she home in bed right now. She know they're going to have a big argument when she get home. She dreading that. Alan, he have to fix supper for Randy, and his mama ain't telling him nothing about cooking. Only thing he know is how to warm up a TV dinner, and Randy just sull up when he have to eat one of them. She's wishing now she had gone on home. It wouldn't have been so bad then. It's going to be worse now, much worse than if she just gone on home after them double 151s. You know, way it is, though. You get started. Can't stop. Take that first drink. She ain't gonna stop till she pass out or run out. She don't know what it is. She don't understand it herself. Didn't start out like this. Didn't used to be this way. Used to be a beer once in a while. A little wine and New Year's. But things just got out of hand. Didn't mean to be this way. Just can't help it. Alan used to drink a little beer on weekends, and that turned him flat against it. He don't even want to be around nobody drinking now. Somebody offer him a drink now, he tell him to get it out of his face. He don't even lost some of his friends over this thing. Angel get down to the boat ramp, ain't a soul there. It's windy out there. Water dark. Scare her to death just to see it. What would it be like out there in them waves? Them black waves closing over your head? Ain't nobody around to hear you screaming. Coat be waterlogged and pulling you down. Hurt just a little, and then that's it. Just a brief pain. Be dead then. Won't know nothing. Won't have no hurts. Easy way out. They get over it eventually. Could make it out like an accident. Drive her car right off in the water, everybody thinking a mistake. Just a tragedy, that's all. An unfortunate thing. Don't want to hurt nobody. What's so wrong with her life? She do the things she do, killing her baby and her man little at a time, and her own self. But have to have it. Thinking things when she drinking, she wouldn't think at all when she not drinking, but now she drinking all the time, and she thinking same way all the time. She drinks some more beer and schnapps. And then she pass out or go to sleep, she don't know which, same thing. Sleeping, she don't have to think no more. Ain't no hurting when she's sleeping, sleeping good. Can't sleep forever. Somebody done woke her up, knocking on the glass, some boy out there. High school boy. Truck parked beside some more kids in it. She's scared at first. Thinks something bad. But they look all right. Don't look mean or nothing. Just look worried. She get up and roll her window down just a little, just a crack. Ma'am, the boy say, you all right, ma'am? Yeah. She say, fine, thank you. Seen you sitting here, he said. Thought your car tore up, maybe. No, Angel say. Just sleepy, she say. Leaving now, she say, and she roll the window up. She turn the lights on, car still running, ain't even shut it off. Out in the middle of nowhere, asleep, ain't locked the door. Somebody walk up and slit her throat, she don't even know it. She crazy. She got to get home. She been asleep no telling how long. She afraid they're gonna follow her out. They do. She can't stand for nobody to get behind her like that. Make her nervous. She decides she's gonna speed up and leave them behind. She get up to about 65. She start to pull away. She sobered up a little while she asleep. Be okay. Have one of them beers out the sack now. Beer sack down on the floor. Have to lean over and take her eyes off the road just a second to get to that beer. No problem. Oh, her face hit the windshield. The seat slammed her up too quick. Light shining up against the tree. Don't even know what happened. Windshield broke all to pieces. Smoke coming out the hood. She wiping her face. Interior light on. She got blood over her hands. Face bleeding. She look in the rearview mirror. She don't even know herself. She look like something in a monster movie. She's screaming now. Face cut all to pieces. She black out again. She come to. She out on the ground. People helping her up. She's screaming, I'm wrought! I'm wrought! Lights in her eyes, legs moving in front of her, kids talking. One of them say, she just drove right off the road, right into that tree. She don't believe it. Ah, the road move or something. The tree jump out in front of her. She a good driver. She drive too good for something like this. Cost $3,000 to fix the car this time. Don't even drive right no more. Alan say the frame bent. Alan say it won't never drive right no more. Ain't even paid for. She don't know nothing about no frame. She just know it kind of jerk going down the road. She in the hospital a while. She don't remember exactly. 3-4 days. They had to sew her face up. People see them scars even through thick makeup the rest of her life. She bruised so bad she don't get out of bed for a week. Alan keeps saying they lucky she ain't dead. He keep praising God his wife ain't dead. She knows she just gonna have to go through it again now sometime till a worse one happened. Police done come and talk to her. She lie her way out of it though. They can't prove nothing. Alan keeps saying we lucky. Ain't lucky. Boss call, wanna know when she coming back to work. She hem and haw. Done miss all the Mondays. She can't give no definite answer. He clear his throat. Maybe we should find somebody else for her position since she's so vague. Well, yes, sir, she say. Well, yes, sir, if you think that's the best thing. Alan awful quiet after this happened. He just sit and stare. She touch him out on the porch. He just draw away. Like her hand a bad thing to feel on him. This go on for about a week. Then he come home from work one evening, and she's sitting in the living room with a glass of wine in her hand. He back now from having his hand sewed up. He's sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee. He done bought some cigarettes. He's smoking one after another. Done been quit 2 years. Say it's the hardest thing he ever done. He say he never stopped wanting one, that he have to brace himself every day. Now he done started back again. She know. This is what she done to him. Angel not drinking anything. Don't mean she don't have nothing. Just can't have it right now. He awake now. Later he be asleep. He think the house clean. House ain't clean. Lots of places to hide things. You just have to want to hide them bad enough. It ain't like Easter eggs. Like Christmas presents. Like life and death. Would never think on her wedding night it would be like this. She in the living room by herself, he in the kitchen by himself. TV on, she ain't watching it. Some fool on Johnny Carson telling stuff ain't even funny. She ain't got the sound on, ain't hear nothing, ain't see nothing. She hear him like he choke in there every once in a while. Randy in the bed asleep. Wants so bad to get up and go in there and tell Alan, baby, I promise I will quit. Again. But ain't no use in saying it. She don't mean it. It's just words. Don't mean nothing. done lost trust anyway. Lose trust? A man and a wife done lost everything. Even if she quit now, stay quit, he always be looking over their shoulder. He always be smelling her breath. Lost trust, she won't ever get it back. He come in there where she at, finally. He been crying. She can tell it by looking at him. He's not hurting for himself. He not hurting for his hand. He cut off his hand and throw it away if she ask him to. He hurting for her. She know all this. Don't nobody have to tell her. It's why it don't do no good to talk to her. She know it already. Baby, he say, I'm going to bed. Had a long day today. His face looked like he about 60 years old. He 31. Weigh 165 and bench press 290. You coming, he say? She want to. Morning be soon enough to drink something else. He be gone to work. Randy be going to school. House be quiet by 7:30. She do what she want then. Whole day be hers to do what she want. Things be better tomorrow, maybe. She cook them something good for supper. She make them a good old pie and have ice cream. She get better. They know she trying. She just weak. She just needs some time. This thing not something you throw off like a cold. This thing is deep. This thing beat more good people than her. Angel say, not yet, baby. I'm just going to sit here in this living room a while. I'm so sorry you cut your hand. She say, you want to move, he say, another state, another country? You say the word, I quit my job tomorrow. It don't matter. It's just a job, he say. Don't want to move, she say. She trembling. Don't matter what people thinks, he say. She think he gonna come over and get down on the floor and hug her knees and cry, but he don't. He look like he holding back to keep from doing that. And she glad he don't. He do that, she make them promises again. She'll promise anything if he just stop. Okay, he say, I'm going to bed now. He look beat. He go. She by herself. It real quiet now to hear anything. Hear walls pop, hear mice move. Yeah, they eating something in the cabinet. They need to get some traps. Time go by so slow. She know he in there listening. He listen for any step she make, which room she move into, which furniture she reach for. She have to wait. It's risky now. He thinks she in here drinking. They gonna have it all over again. One time a night is enough. Smart thing is to go to bed. Just get next to him. That's what he want. Ought to be what she want. Used to be she did. 30 minutes, a long time like this. She holding her breath when she go in there to look at him. He's just a lump in the dark. Can't tell if he's sleeping or not. Could be laying there looking at her, too dark to tell. He probably sleep, though. He tired. He give out. He worked so hard for them. Tomorrow be better. Tomorrow she have to try harder. She knows she can do it. She got willpower. Just need a little time. They have to be patient with her. Rome ain't built in a day. She gonna be so good in the future. It ain't gonna hurt. It ain't gonna hurt nothing to have a few cold beers tonight. I ain't drinking no whiskey now. Liquor store done closed anyway. Big Star still open. She's just gonna run down and get some beer and then run right back. Don't need to drink when she got hit anyway. She probably won't need none later. She gonna quit anyway, but just in case. She know where the checkbook laying. She ain't making no noise. If he awake, he ain't saying nothing. If he awake, he'd have been done said something. He won't know she ever been gone. He won't miss no $3 check anyway. She'll put it in with the grocery sometime. Side door squeak every time. Don't notice it in daytime. Squeak like hell at night. porch light on. He always leave it on if she gonna be out. Ain't no need to turn it off. She be back in 10 minutes. He never know she gone. Car in the driveway. It raining a little. She get in, ease the door to, trying to be quiet. He's so tired. He need his rest. She look at the bedroom when she turned the key, and the light come on in there. Caught now. Wasn't even asleep. Trying just to catch her on purpose. Laying there in the dark, just making out like he asleep. Don't trust her, won't never trust her. It's like he making her slip around. Damn him anyway. Ain't nothing to do but talk to him. He's standing on the step in his underwear. She put it in reverse and back on up. She stopped beside him and rolled down the window. She hate to. Neighbor's gonna see him out here in his underwear. What do you think he's doing anyway? Can't he leave her alone? Treat her like some baby. He can't take his eyes off for 5 minutes. I'm going to the store, she says. I'll be right back. Don't care for you going to the store, he say. Long as you're coming back. You coming back? He got his arms wrapped around him. He's shivering in the night air. He looked like he'd been asleep. I'm just going for some cigarettes, she said. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Go on back to bed. I'll be right back, I promise. He stepped off the porch and come next to the car. He hugging himself and shaking, barefooted, standing in the driveway getting wet. I won't say nothing about you drinking if you just do it at home, he say. Go get you something to drink. But come back home. Please, he say. It hit her now. This enough. This enough to stop anything, anybody, everything. He done give up. Baby, he say. No, you ain't gonna stop. Done said all I can say. Just don't get out on the road drinking. Don't care about the car. Just don't hurt yourself. I done told you I'll be back in 10 minutes. She say, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Something crossed his face. Can't tell rain from tears in this, but what he's shivering from, she don't think is cold. Okay, baby, he say. Okay. And he turned away. She relieved. Now maybe won't be no argument. Now maybe won't be no dread. She telling the truth anyway. Ain't going nowhere but big star. Be back in 10 minutes. All this fussing for nothing. Neighbors probably looking out the windows. He go up on the porch and put his hand on the door. He watching her back out the driveway. She watching him standing there half naked. All this foolishness over a little trip to Big Star. She shake her head while she backing out the driveway. It's almost like he ain't even expecting her to come back. She almost laugh at this. Ain't nothing open this late but bars. And she ain't going to none of them, or no ma'am. She see him watch her again. And then she see him step inside. What he need to do? Go on back to bed. Get some rest. He gotta go to work in the morning. All she gotta do is sleep. She turned the wipers on to see better. The porch light shining out there. Yellow light showing rain. It's slanting down hard. It shine on the driveway and on Randy's bicycle and on their barbecue grill sitting there getting wet. It make her feel good to know that all of this is hers. She got all this to come back to. This light show her home. This warm place she owned that mean everything to her. This light is always on for her. That's what she thinking when it go out.
We heard Myra Lucretia Taylor read Larry Brown's Kubuku Rides, This Is It. In the film, by Terry Kinney and Doug Bost of Steppenwolf Films, the story is told from the point of view of Angel's young son. Here's a sample.
She's wishing she was home in bed right now. Way it is, though. Get started, can't stop.
That was an excerpt from Terry Kinney and Doug Bost's adaptation of Larry Brown's short story, Kubuku Rides, This Is It. After the readings at Symphony Space during our program on fiction into film, the directors and I talked about their works from the stage. Here's part of that discussion. We are happy to have these filmmakers with us on the Symphony Space stage tonight. And let me begin by asking each, starting with Claudia, how you discovered the story and what made you think that the story would make a good film for your filmmaker's purposes.
I met Ivana actually in 1996. She had just finished her book of short stories, and I read the story and I told her that this would make a great short film. Because I think it has this incredible essence. It has this girl power feeling to it.
Let me ask Terry, how did you come upon this Larry Brown story?
I was given the book that it came in, a book of short stories, and this was the first one that I turned to, and I got stuck on it. I read it over and over, and it was the rush of adrenaline behind it. It was the writing style. It was the omniscient narrator, and who was this narrator? And years later, I was thinking about, I wanted to write a story about a woman running away from her life. And I picked up the short story again, I read it again, and I started writing by hand. And I didn't get up until I finished a draft. And then I took it to Doug, and I asked him if he liked it, if he responded to it at all, that I would love to have him come and write with me.
What made you think, yes, there's a movie in this?
Well, it was the characters. The characters were so rich. The story was so rife with passion and love. And it was a kind of a flip side. You know, a woman that was running away and a man that was trying to hold on to her. And the inability to reach her, you know, kind of broke my heart.
Mm-hmm. Going back to Claudia for a moment, you had a living author to work with. Did you work with her?
Yeah, actually, at the beginning we didn't, because there needed to be a separation between her work and that I was intended to create as my work. When she allowed me to create my own work out of her work, then we teamed up again, and she actually recorded the voiceover.
Oh, so that's her voice.
That's her voice.
You two didn't have a living author, but you had each other to work with. Could you describe how that worked? Did you have disagreements about what to do here or how to do it?
My first idea was to make this omniscient narrator the son and have him be defending his mother all the while. But Doug felt like it should be her imagination of what he would say.
I sort of thought, you know, her guilt is so strong, and her imagining how she is acting as a mother and how she's being read by her son.
Her husband is lost to her in a way. This is what she would like to believe.
Uh-huh. Let's just go back a little bit to the process of filmmaking. How long did it take to make each of these films?
It was really fast and furious. Like, it was just kind of, let's shoot, and then the kids would get all freaked out. They wanted to jump in the pool. Nobody wanted to, you know, do anything. And the boys quit on day three. They thought it was just too much work. And so I only had girls for the race, you know.
Yours is a longer film. How long did it take to, in each of the phases, including the shooting?
Well, we shot for 5 days. We had no money. Everybody donated everything.
And where did you shoot it?
We shot one scene in Chicago. The bar scene, actually, that was our first day of shooting. That was our only day in the city. And then we moved out to Elgin, Illinois, which is north. But when we were in the bar, we were driving away from that scene, and I saw someone chasing the car. And so I stopped, and she said, I just wanted you to know, it's such an honor to have you here. Larry drank here all the time when he was in Chicago. I had no idea. But this was Larry Brown's bar.
You just had happened to pick a bar.
We just happened to pick his bar. That was kind of
funny. And you cast that from the Chicago acting pool, or the Steppenwolf actors?
They weren't Steppenwolf actors. I had seen Jonelle in a Steppenwolf play, and also I had just seen this movie, Me and You and Everyone We Know, a Miranda July film, and she played the mother of the little boy, who's actually, I cast both of them, and it turned out that both of them had Chicago roots, and Jonelle and Morocco were a real married couple.
Hmm.
They were.
Now,
I don't know what we did to them.
One thing that always interests me is who shows shorts?
Symphony Space.
From film festivals.
Film festival. And has that the circuit you've been trying to distribute this to?
Yes. I mean, they sometimes you can get a distributor, and you can also sell it to different TV stations.
What is your next film, Claudia?
I am hoping, I should be more confident about this. I am going to make my first feature film. We'll see.
You'll remember, friends, that you saw her here on stage proclaiming this when you attend the opening.
Yeah.
And you gentlemen have other films on the pipeline?
We just made a feature called Diminished Capacity, and we were at Sundance. We've sold it. It's a comedy about Alzheimer's, and it's the first of its kind, I believe.
A comedy about Alzheimer's.
It's got Alan Alda is the star with Matthew Broderick and several other people. Good actors. All.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming and bringing your films to us.
Thank you for watching.
Thanks so much. The directors Claudia Morgado Escanilla, Terry Kinney, and Doug Bost discussing their film adaptations of short stories by Ivan E. Coyote and Larry Brown. Listeners can view these wonderful films at our website, selectedshorts.org. Selected Shorts is produced by Catherine Minton and directed by Isaiah Sheffer. The executive director of Symphony Space is Cynthia Elliott. Our radio producer is Sarah Montague, and our production assistant is Miranda Schaefer. The readings are recorded by Miles B. Smith, and our mix engineer is Stu Kennedy. Our theme music is Roger Calloway's Come to the Meadow. Major support for Selected Shorts is provided by Houghton Mifflin, publishers of The Best American Short Stories, edited in 2008 by Salman Rushdie, and by Barnes & Noble, bookseller since 1873, and on the web at bn.com. Support for this program also comes from Audiophile Magazine. For audiobook information and reviews, visit audiophilemagazine.com. Additional support is provided by the Dungannon Foundation, sponsor of the Ray Award for the Short Story, Budget Travel, the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art, the New York State Council on the Arts, a state agency, the Henry Nias Foundation, and the Lila Acheson Wallace Theater Fund of the New York Community Trust. Selected Shorts is a co-production of Symphony Space and WNYC Radio in New York, and is distributed nationwide by PRI, Public Radio International.
Support for this program comes from this station and Public Radio International stations nationwide, and is made possible in part by the PRI Program Fund, whose contributors include the Ford Foundation and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
PRI, Public Radio International.